Today on Real Radio.
He'll put a wicked king into office. Why? Because the people have wanted it in a roundabout way. The king he brings into office, he allows it to be so because the people will not listen to God, and then Israel will be judged. Then once they're bleeding and crying and upset and vacant of their lands and family, they look up and they say, God, how did this happen?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're looking at the second half of chapter 17, the fascinating account of the Apostle Paul presenting and defending the gospel of the true and knowable God. Verse 23 of this chapter contains this presentation's title, and you might even find it in capital letters in your Bible. You see, it was also inscribed on an altar built by those who worshipped strange gods, as the text reads. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing with this study called To the Unknown God.
Philosophy's been said to be the unintelligent response to insoluble questions and problems. There's no answer regarding the problem. God comes in and fixes all problems, because he is God, and we're going to see things in a moment why that's true. They have no absolutes. And that's very dangerous for a culture, for a city. You see, if you have no absolutes, you can do whatever you want. And what you do is your right. And somebody can't question your right, because, you see, if it feels good to you, you do that. That is hedonism, or the Epicurean philosophy, and if it feels good, do it. And this sounds silly, but think about it. Rather than apprehending people who are violating laws that are to protect the innocent, we are apprehending people, we're putting them into courtrooms, and then we wind up changing the laws because we don't want to encroach upon their rights. We are doing what the Bible warned us about, that in the last days we will call good evil and evil good. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you've come from. But there's absolutes. I had somebody write me. I had somebody quoted me on the telephone, newspaper, and then they put it in print. You know, be careful when you talk to a newspaper. Although I'm blessed by what they put in, they've correctly quoted me, and then somebody wrote in an article, a rebuttal back, and their basic rebuttal was, there's no absolutes. So I got a hold of this person's address, and I wrote them back a letter. What do you mean there's no absolutes? Listen, you go on top of this building, you jump off, you're not going to go up. You're going to go down. And you laugh because that's so common. Everybody knows that. You know why? Because you believe in absolutes. You go over here and you lick this wall socket. You're going to hurt. Especially the 220 one. You will glow like Moses. Why? Absolutes. Absolutes. Stupid people. You got a hurricane coming on the east coast of the U.S. Let's get drunk and sent, and let's get on our yacht and go out and meet it. Head on. You're going to lose. There's absolutes. God says there's absolutes. Can you imagine being on a space program, the very first one? They're going to send you on a rocket to space. The last thing I want to hear if I'm an astronaut is that those engineering guys don't believe in absolutes. Oh, man, then you get in there. I'm not getting in there. I believe you just throw metal up in the air, it's all going to come out fine. Well, then I'm not getting in it. Your life is governed by absolutes. These guys didn't believe in absolutes. And because of that, their morals fell apart. They had no ethics. And they were extremely sincere. They believed there are all kinds of ways to God or gods. And let me tell you something, they were sincere. Do you think sincerity has anything to do with truth? It does not. When you read in the book of Kings, Elijah on Mount Carmel, read the fine print. There's not 450 prophets. There's 850 prophets. 450 are from Baal. And they're all there. And Elijah's standing up there in the morning. He says, okay, let's build an altar. He was all by himself. He said, if God of the universe is God, let him judge the sacrifice. Let's have him come down and consume it with fire. So I tell you what, you guys, you worshipers of Baal, you guys build an altar and get your gods to do your thing. So they're out there and they're make a sacrifice. I'm going to read it to you. In 1 Kings 18:26, it says, so that they took the bull and they sacrificed it there and they prepared it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice and there was no answer. And then they began to leap about the altar, which they had made. Let me ask you something. What if Walter Cronkite would have walked up right then and there and said, excuse me, but are you guys sincerely leaping? We are sincerely leaping. Okay, great. I just want to make sure. And so it was at noon that Elijah began to mock them and said, cry louder, for he is a god, isn't he? Either he's meditating, or he's busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping, and you must awaken him. So they began to shout louder. Walter Cronkite comes on and says, excuse me, are you sincerely shouting? And they said, you bet we're sincerely shouting with all of our hearts. These guys are leaping and shouting, oh God, hear us! Then it says that they began to slash themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until blood flowed out of them. Excuse me, but are you guys sincerely bleeding right now? Sincerity has nothing to do with getting to heaven. You can be so sincere and be absolutely sincerely wrong. Do you know that? When somebody tells you something, look at the cults. They're so driven by passion, but they believe a lie. Sincerity has nothing to do with it. These Epicureans and Stoics are very sincere. But they're lost, and Paul sees them as pitifully lost. Verse 21 proves that there were daytime talk shows on that in Athens. It says, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some strange new thing, some new stuff going on. In fact, somewhere in the Greek, I think it's Montel or Geraldo, somewhere in there. Now watch what happens in verse 22. Then Paul stood up in the midst of the Areopagus and said, listen to his approach, it's beautiful. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious and you all should burn and fry and... No. He says, I perceive that you're very religious. There's no doubt about it, Paul. That's true. Look at verse 23. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, what are the objects of your worship? I've walked by them. I'm looking at them, Paul says. And I've seen one that has an inscription. It's an altar and it says, to the unknown God. Paul is so slick. See, the Athenians believed in all these gods, but what happens if a god shows up to town that we have forgotten? We don't want to offend the gods. So let's build an altar that says to the unknown God, so that when he pulls into town, he sees the Kiwanis sign approaching town, and he sees the population sign and the elevation sign, and, oh, where's my name? Where's my altar? And then this one right there says, to the unknown God, that's for you. That's what they believed. These guys were educated. Athens was the MIT, the Caltech, of the known world at that time. Aristotle came from there. Socrates came from there. Remember that. They're thinkers. But they had this going on. So Paul says, I want to tell you about the unknown God that you have. And in fact, he says that you are ignorantly or not knowing you are worshiping. Now, Paul is being very kind and generous with his words here. Now, look at this. And this is point one. And we'll go through them as quickly as we can. The first point is Paul is going to differentiate his God, the God of the Bible, your God, from all the little pagan gods of the world. Number one, in verses 24 and 25, God is the creator. And this is fun. Paul opens up. Verse 24. God, who made the world and everything in it. You ought to underline that. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. First statement would have caused a normal Athenian to go bananas. My God is over all your little gods. And he doesn't dwell in temples. Oh man, these guys worship temples. You could hear the hammer stop for a minute. Excuse me? What did you just say? This is Joe's temple building service. The God I'm telling you about is over everything else, and he doesn't live in temples. Well, who wants that kind of God? That's bad for business. You see, all of a sudden, you can't put this God in a box. Why? He's creator of everything. He's Lord over heaven and earth. He is creator. It's interesting that the entire Bible opens up with the argument, in the beginning, God designed, created, manufactured, put forth the heavens and the earth. He's the designer. If you have a hard time with that, read it this way. In the beginning, God engineered the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. You look out into space. I'm so grateful for the Hubble telescope. It's got God written all over the data that's coming back. I hope we send up something new, something more advanced. Bring it on, science. Send it up, and it comes back saying everything's younger than what we first believed, and everything's extremely more ordered than we believed, and everything looks like God made it, which we don't want to believe. John 1:1, in the beginning, that is of creation, was the Word. And you read on, and the Word was Jesus Christ. John 1:14. Hebrews 1:10. You, O Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. That's how you open up an argument to your friends and witnessing to them. Paul is assuming that nature speaks about the existence of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 22 warns us that if we do not think and understand that it is God who created the worlds, that our hearts become darkened and we become foolish. So much so, he says that we'll come to a point in time that we will profess to be wise, but in reality, we've become fools, in Romans 1:22. And then finally this, in Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool, the word is empty-headed person, has said in his heart, there's no God. That's serious, people. Charles Darwin flunked out of seminary, Baptist seminary, rejecting God. And the Bible says in Romans 1:18 that you can be given over to a mind that is darkened and devoid of God. So man who struggles with his existence comes up with the next best thing. I'll create my own world. And what happens is man generates foreign religions. One popular one today, but it's losing its steam, is the one called evolution. It's a belief process. It's a religion. It is not scientific. The scientific laws, which are absolute, are speaking and testify against the theory of evolution. And that's scientific. Verse 25. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. I want to touch on this for a moment because it angers me so much. Look what it says. Am I reading this right? Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything? Does your Bible say that? Then why did I turn on my TV and catch a guy on Christian TV telling us that if you don't send in your money, the program's going to fold and God's work's going to stop? I have a hard time with that. And I got to watch out. I don't get in the flesh right now and blow this whole day. But let me say it. God needs nothing from you and me. An idol does. An idol, you got to dust it off, don't you? Why can't it dust itself off? It's a god, isn't it? And when you knock it over and it falls into a million pieces, why doesn't it put itself back together again? No, it's a Humpty Dumpty. That's the problem. It's an idol. Your God needs nothing from you. Your God allows you to participate in what he's doing, but he needs nothing from you. If there comes a day that God is portrayed and believed as in needing something from you, then we all ought to give up. Well, how are we going to do it? We is the wrong terminology. How's he going to do it? Paul says, listen, the God I'm talking to you about, he is creator over everything, and he doesn't need your help. He doesn't live in temples. He needs nothing from you. And the Athenians believed that their gods needed them. But our God, listen carefully, Jesus lived this out in front of us. Our God serves us. Can you believe that? Jesus said, I have served you. Now you serve one another. But idols need you to pamper them. And Paul speaks of the Creator. Verses 26 to 29, second point. He is king over all, and I love this. Verse 26, and he has made from one blood, or one people, one person. It can't, some of your Bibles might even have, and he has made from Adam, which is correct, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. I don't want to belabor this, but what is science telling us right now, in the journals now? That technology has brought us to the place of finding out that we have all come from one woman. Have you heard this? They have done hematological studies with DNA, and they have found out that every one of us have come from a woman. One woman! My Bible calls her Eve. One woman. They can trace all of our blood back to one source. That's amazing. It's biblical. It's right here in the scriptures. Not only that, not only is man's origin, Paul is saying, from God. Can you imagine what these, they're sitting there going, wait a minute, this guy's talking about a big God. It's a big God theory. He makes all of our gods look like a bunch of little knuckleheads. And look what it says. This gives me comfort. There are pre-appointed times and boundaries, verse 26, of their habitation. Appointed who? The nations. Who's going to get into office next year? I don't know. God knows. But I guarantee you this, God's not an idol. God has predetermined who's going to be in office next year. That can comfort you, or that can scare you to death. I'm serious. Because God in his Bible puts people into positions, and he uses them, like Nebuchadnezzar, to judge Israel. He'll put a wicked king into office. Why? Because the people have wanted it in a roundabout way. The king he brings into office, he allows it to be so because the people will not listen to God, and then Israel will be judged. Then once they're bleeding and crying and upset and vacant of their lands and family, they look up and they say, God, how did this happen? He said, well, you forgot me. You left me about 30 years ago, back in the 60s. You put me off. And now judgment comes. It's a cycle. That's the way it works. The Bible says that a nation that has God as their king dwells in peace. He is king over everything. Well, Jack, that means we shouldn't vote then. Wrong. Romans 13 tells us the powers that be have been ordained by God. You've been given the right to vote. That means you're supposed to go vote. Well, I'm not going to vote. I'm just going to let God do his thing. God does his thing through us, or he'll do his thing without us. But wouldn't you want to be included in God's work? We cannot sit idle. Why does God do this? Why does God intervene in nations and peoples? Look at verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him. Interesting word, grope. Only found here in the New Testament. It's a kind of a pagan term. Remember, the Bible says it's by faith that we walk. Well, this is the word feeling. Paul is reaching out to the Epicurean. He's using their jargon. You know what? God has done all of this stuff so you Athenians right here, right now, you Stoics and you Epicureans might feel for God. And they, feel, yeah. and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. This is the doctrine of the omnipresence of God. This is fun. Jot these scriptures down, because they're, if you don't get this in your heart, you're going to go nuts. The Bible, Jesus taught, Matthew 6, 9. Jesus said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father who art in heaven. Where is he? He's in heaven. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father who's in heaven. The Father is God. No problem with that. But Paul says, he's very near us all. Well, I thought he was in heaven. Well, he is. But he's very near us all. Wait a minute. God, in his omnipresence, which is an attribute of his, he's not an idol. He's everywhere at one time. Listen to this, Psalm 139, 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The answer is, I can't go anywhere. Well, listen. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says that your body, if you're a believer in Christ this morning, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. God is in heaven. God the Holy Spirit is inside you if you're a believer. And that seems absolutely insane. Aren't you glad that you cannot figure your God out? You know, the God of Mormonism, you can figure him out. He used to be a man just like us. And he's been exalted. Well, the God of the Jehovah Witnesses, you can figure him out. They know all about him. You know, our God of the Bible, you can't figure him out. He's beyond you figuring him out. That's the kind of God I want. Big. Able. Strong. Who not only inhabits eternity, he lives in my heart. Isn't that weird? I got this yellow shirt on, green pants, this skin that's dying and getting older. Yet inside me, as the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that radical?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called To the Unknown God. The same words inscribed on an altar built by worshipers of strange deities, as we read in Acts chapter 17. We'll continue with more of our journey through this New Testament account on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't yet visited SoCalProphecyConference.com, please make a note to do so. SoCalProphecyConference.com is where you'll be informed on the upcoming prophecy conference happening here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills next month. Here's Pastor Jack with more.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. The Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is just around the corner, January 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. If you think this is just another prophecy conference, then you'd want to visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com. That's SoCalProphecyConference.com. As you'll see there, the lineup of speakers is an amazing example of God's grace, all in one event under one roof. You'll learn from former Muslims who now serve the Lord Jesus Christ, experts who have experienced radical Islam firsthand. Learn how and why we need to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel of God, and find out what the Quran really has to say about the Jew and the Christian, about America and the nation of Israel. Find out how all of this ties together in light of Bible prophecy. The Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference is this January 11th, 12th, and 13th, right here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. This is a ticketed event, and the cost is just $25 for the entire weekend. Visit us at SoCalProphecyConference.com or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO, 877-777-2346.
Thanks, Pastor Jack. Remember, SoCalProphecyConference.com, SoCalProphecyConference.com, or 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.